It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hands.
And welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, where for the past 8 years, we have been trying to recreate the chemistry of Marcelo Bielsa and his interpreter, but we have failed to do so. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal. And Vishal, we are recording after quite a while. A lot has happened since we last had an episode out. But more than that, we are entering the phase of the season, which is usually always madness. The festive phase where the games fly thick and fast. But this season, even more so, given how the season has been so far, given the number of injuries, given the way the scheduling has been, it has been kind of all over the place, and we are looking forward to another 2 weeks of pandemonium that remain in the year 2020.
Oh God, this year is just dumb. I do not know, man. Like, I'm so lost for words when it comes to describing this year, the way the football is being managed by the Football Association. Everything just has left me baffled. And now, joy. Look, time to look forward to this time of the season where it's going to come faster than it has already hit us. And let's see how many lasts.
So this could be pretty topsy-turvy festive season. But having said that, the 12 rounds of games that have happened so far have more or less given us relatively predictable narratives, although it remains pretty crowded at the top, and that's where some distance might start developing as we enter this phase of games. Just quickly catching up on some of the games from the last week. Everton finally returning to winning ways. I think the last pod we recorded was when off the record, I infamously made the prediction that if Everton could drop points for the next 8 games straight, they did it for 5.
They tried their best. They genuinely tried their best.
But they came back to their winning ways in a pretty important game, Everton-Chelsea, winning it 1-0. And you had a point to make about Ancelotti's tactics against Lampard.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Lampard's team is going to be fairly simple and straightforward, right? Move the ball quick, run faster than the ball is moving at this point in time, and crosses coming in from the wings, which is the likes of Giroud, Tammy Abraham, and Werner picking up the ball late or even running into the box late. Or it's just a lot of speed that's all across Chelsea, and even counter-attacks at the same time, right? Ancelotti sat back and said, you know what, I'm going to take a book out of Mourinho. Plus, I'm Italian, so I'm going to sit back and let you all come at me and hit you all when you're least expected. Yes, it was a penalty that Sigurdsson in the court, but it was an overall, Lampard and Chelsea missed a trick there. And it was one of those tactical games where he said, you attack, I'll defend, and I'll score one, and I'm going to sit back, and you see what you can throw whatever you want at me. And it was one of those rare days where Everton's defense actually understood what the whole sit back and defend meant. So that means they got the 3 points and got away with 3 points against Chelsea, which is pretty massive.
And this, of course, keeps Everton in the mix, in the top four mix at any rate, because they're just 6 odd points off of the top, which is how tight this league has been. But speaking of teams trying to make their way to the top, Vishal, there's one crucial game in the midweek, and that is a game with two teams who have a game in hand as well. And that would be Manchester United and Manchester City. But a Manchester derby that was slightly underwhelming, particularly given that there was quite a lot at stake for both managers there.
I'm not sure Man United right now understand what's at stake, at least from their performances over the last few weeks. I think the victories over Southampton and West Ham were like putting really big band-aids over really, really large leaky wounds. So, which was exposed very, very, very well by Leipzig over there in midweek. And I really thought if you were Man City, this was the perfect time to visit Old Trafford, perfect time to come at United. Because one, United can't seem to win at Old Trafford. Two, United can never seem to score without getting a penalty at Old Trafford. So, it was the perfect time for City to come and go at United and possibly close the gap on the top four. But even very, very strangely, Pep Guardiola tried to match United man-to-man with respect to formation, with respect to the kind of players. It was just a very weird night of football. And I don't know. And it seemed like one of those training ground drills that both the managers did not want to win, but they just wanted to see, okay, maybe what, maybe this was preparation for the future. I don't know. But that was just a bizarre, bizarre performance from both teams and both teams having enough opportunity to get into the top four if they won this game. So, yeah, I don't know how to explain this. Left me stumped. It left me frustrated as a United fan as well because, like Roy Keane said, players are more hugging and talking to each other than playing. They're playing a Manchester derby, which in itself is very weird. So, yeah, maybe they need to watch some footage of what these derbies mean.
And speaking of teams which are in the top four at any rate, I mean, Southampton, of course, have been pretty excellent and consistent. But there is one team I should mention, Vishal, because we were talking about them just before we started recording the podcast, and that is Leicester. Currently at 12 games, have 24 points and are, of course, right up there. But interestingly, those 24 points come from 8 wins and 4 losses. Classic Brendan Rodgers team, who really do not take the middle ground, because I had not noticed on the table that they have won 8 games. It's just after someone pointed out that they're the only team in Europe, the Big 5 league so far, who have 8 victories to their name, which is when I went back to check the table and realized that is the case.
Absolutely. Another typical Leicester season, hit and run. They hit a little harder last night where they had a very, very good performance. Honestly, they scored 3 goals in the first half, which is a very unlike Leicester performance. But credit where it's due. But you also expect them to drop a lot of points going forward because even last year they had the top, they had the fourth spot for the taking. They managed to lose about, I think, about 6 in out of the last 8 to 9 games to completely mess that up and let United and Chelsea take those spots. So, yeah, you know that they are bound to drop points, but while they're at it, and they seem to be spoiling somebody else's party right now.
And what that has led us to is, we said in the last podcast episode we recorded as well that we'll be keeping our Jose watch on throughout the season. And of course, it is very heavy Jose watch season right now, because somehow this happens to be probably Mourinho's favorite time of the year too, in terms of the fixture congestion, the chaos. I have a feeling he secretly likes some of this anarchy.
I'm enjoying all of it. I'm telling you.
Which is thrown into the schedule in English football at this time when other leagues sensibly go into Christmas holidays. But having said that, let's look at where Tottenham at. They dropped a couple of points at Crystal Palace this week. Otherwise, they would be sitting on the top 2 points clear of Liverpool minimum. But before that, they've stayed unbeaten for a long time. I mean, they are molding themselves into a very classic Jose Mourinho unit.
Absolutely. And I think molding themselves, because this is, after a very long time, not a Mourinho team that's being forced to play the way they're playing. It seems like they are genuinely a team who believes in this style of football. Right? They genuinely believe in Mourinho. They genuinely believe in what he's out to achieve, and hence are playing a specific way. If you couldn't imagine this Tottenham team playing this style of football this time last year, right? They were high pressers, they were quick, they were fast, hitting on the counter and great passing. And while all of that remains in bursts, in bits and pieces, but this is a team with now tremendous shape, tremendous discipline, all 11 players doing their job like they're supposed to be. Harry Kane constantly picking up the ball in central midfield and linking up with the rest of the people running up with him on mostly Son, but also the Bergwijn and everybody else who's occupying the flanks. So I'm quite impressed. I'm genuinely quite impressed with what Mourinho has been pulling off at Tottenham. He seems to have changed the mindset of the team with respect to them genuinely believing that they might have a chance. While they're keeping quiet about it, they genuinely believe that they are making a difference here. And I'm quite interested to see how this goes, because there seems to be a certain swagger about Mourinho. There seems to be a certain swagger about this Tottenham team, which might just take them the distance, at least to some kind of trophy this season. I'm not saying the league, but he seems to be clear that he wants to win something this year. So let's see where it takes them. But I've been very impressed with this team so far.
And Mourinho is somebody who obviously lays down markers with his trophies, which is kind of something that has frustrated him recently, and he would want to correct that record. Funnily enough,
the best part being, I think Mourinho has the best squad depth in amongst the top 5 to 8 clubs. Where touchwood, he has very few injuries right now. He has fit players, but more importantly, he has the likes of Gareth Bale sitting fresh on the bench, right? And he has some really good players who he can bring on and manage to rest a few players as well in the other game. So I think he's in a good position. He's in a good place. Let's see how this goes.
And Gareth Bale will not be a name that will inspire confidence for who is about to face next.
At least
for his opponents at any rate. But we'll come to that, and that will be the last part of the pod where we look forward to this huge top of the table clash. Of course, Mourinho sitting at the top of the table as of this point would tell you that that's the so-called quote-unquote fake table that I'm topping right now.
I love what you said. Tottenham are ponies in a top five full of horses. I like no Mourinho. You know you don't believe that.
So this is very classic Jose Mourinho mind games and tactics coming into the picture, and it appears that he is again enjoying being a little devious that he always is, and we have had a soft corner for him on this podcast for that reason alone, for the anarchy he sows. Which brings us to the clash upcoming, which is against Liverpool, and it's a straight shootout for position at the top of the table tomorrow night. How do you see this one shaping up? Because Klopp's got his own set of problems when it comes to the league. Liverpool have dropped points where they should not have, ideally. I was saying earlier that they've dropped points at Fulham and Brighton. I mean, this has very 2013 shades on it. How does Klopp make a statement against Tottenham if he has to right now?
Klopp needs to get his 11 really, really right tomorrow, because if he plays too many young players, Mourinho is going to set up to bully those young players. And by bullying them, he will actually go physical against them, right? He will actually ask his players to run into them, run at them and go hard at them, right? And they have to be careful of the counter-attack, because they do not have Van Dijk. Trent Alexander-Arnold is just coming back into form. I don't know if he's completely 100% fit yet to pull off or keep up with the likes of Son or Bergwijn. Similarly, Robertson has been doing a lot of the heavy lifting, and Fabinho, again, not the fastest player. So he has to get his defense spot on tomorrow, because if not, I think Tottenham will see them for the taking. And I think Mourinho is already plotting this, right? He knows that this is the best possible chance to get a 3 points against Liverpool. And more importantly, he definitely has a superior midfield at this point in time against Liverpool, to do with injuries, to do with players playing out of position, and to do with the war tanks that he's built in his midfield. So he's going to have that advantage as well. And this stability was his, stopgap arrangements at this point in time for Liverpool versus Tottenham tomorrow. And I think Tottenham have their best chance of pulling off a 3 points. But with Liverpool, if Sané has just not been in the has just not been in form yet this season. He's not been able to make the runs that he normally does. He's not been able to score the goals that he normally does. And Salah needs to have one of those games where he's involved from minute 1 to minute 90, because when he does not do that, he seems to be absent on the pitch completely. So lots need to happen for Liverpool at the same time to pull this off. It's a tough game. It's unfortunate timing for them, but it's a tough game. So
Vishal, you've talked about this journey so far that Liverpool have been on, and you were mentioning after their win against Leicester, which indeed was an impressive performance, but then again, that was at home. A performance which kind of showed that they were sort of grinding results out like champions should. So what's your assessment of the campaign so far in terms of 12 games, and trying to extrapolate this over the remaining games to see if they can really defend their title?
So I think they were really impressive right up to this Fulham game. I thought they were almost as bad as they were against Aston Villa in this Fulham game. Only difference being they conceded those goals against Aston Villa, right? I think Alisson was immense last night. That was one of the reasons why it was only 1-0 until Liverpool got the penalty. But if not for Alisson, I think it could have easily been a 3-0, 4-0 result for Fulham, and which is kind of scary, right? So till yesterday, I thought they were pretty impressive. The game management was impressive. I think Klopp was getting back into the whole underdog mold where he was not going into games considering himself the favorite, and that's possibly when Klopp is at his best. So I think so far, everything put aside, they are still in the top two. They still are my favorites to win the league, and they need some luck coming their way with injuries, because even the Jota injury is so unfortunate for a player in so much form. I think that's just sad in many ways. So one, he needs to figure a way to keep his players fit. Two, he needs to now try and figure out what's his best 11 as well, because that's becoming a tougher and tougher job. But so far, so good. He's done a good job. It's been a decent title defense so far in a very uncertain year. And let's see how it goes.
It could be a very interesting title defense right up till the end, the way things are shaping up.
Absolutely.
And finally, to wrap this up, Vishal, from the last time we spoke, it's been a very unfortunate month in between. We have lost at least four bona fide legends of the game. We obviously had Diego Maradona and Paolo Rossi in between, but two Liverpool legends as well, Ray Clemens, and of course, earlier today, Gerard Houllier. And a quick word on Gerard Houllier, because he is among those managers who did not have a very long stint at Liverpool, but did something extremely crucial for what the modern blueprint of this club is.
Absolutely right. Firstly, the way he joined Liverpool in itself, where he was co-manager along with Phil Thompson, right? Which is such a weird place to start off, but then took over completely. And more importantly, when he took over, it was a very pivotal time for Liverpool, right? They didn't have the greatest players. They weren't possibly, they didn't have the greatest owners for sure, who weren't putting in the right amount of money in a time where the club, the league was dominated outright by United and Arsenal challenging them at that point in time. But key introductions to the Liverpool team, both with Carragher, both with Gerrard, who both were captains for all practical purposes, legends of the game, legends for Liverpool. I think 10 to 12 great years between both of them. Won a Champions League as a result of that team. And a lot of those players were his players, right? If you think of the likes of Smith, if you think of the likes of Gerrard, you think of the likes of Hamann and Carragher, of course. So I think a manager who was a very, very good manager, who possibly did not have the right support from the management at that point in time, but at that point in time also had the guts to go on and take on Ferguson himself, right? And that's not something that everybody did at most times of their career. So
And that was sort of the beginning of that United curve when they were at their best. Yes, so an unfortunate loss. We obviously will bring more about these people on more special episodes, perhaps. But for the time being, our attention remains fixated on Jose Mourinho mostly, because this appears to be a season which might become a story about Mourinho himself. And this would be quite the story, particularly if he's able to pull off the ultimate act, which is coming back and winning a league with a team where his appointment originally looked like recipe made for disaster. But at the same time, anybody who's watched the Spurs documentary in that season and thought that they were watching somebody dysfunctional at work, we have got news for you. You don't know Jose and you don't understand how Mourinho thinks. I think people would be better advised to switch over to Netflix and watch A Coach's Rule for Life and understand how Mourinho thinks about life from there. Of course, we'll be covering all of that and more in the coming couple of weeks as the action heats up in the Premier League. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at SenSoccer or find us on any of the podcasting platforms that you use. That's all the time we have for this very special episode, which is after a hiatus of almost 3 weeks. We have also been as overwhelmed as the players going through this schedule.
Exactly is the word.
We'll be bringing you a couple of more special episodes in between. So do keep an eye out for those. In the meantime, this is Tariq logging off along with Vishal.
See you guys.
See you guys next time.